KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome to KSL at Night. I am your co-host, Rusty Cannon. I'm the president of the Utah Taxpayers Association, and I have the extreme pleasure tonight co-hosting for the first time for me with the one and only Mara Carabello, president of the Exoro Group.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. This is good.
Yeah, this should be fun. We're going to have a real great show for everybody tonight. One thing we wanted to remind everybody is that if you miss the show and any of our shows, you can always go back and listen to it on KSLpodcast.com after the show's been aired. Just look up KSL at Night. So we are really excited about our first guest tonight, someone that I have enjoyed really a lot watching go to work in Washington, D.C., Congresswoman Celeste Molloy. Thank you for joining us tonight on KSL at Night.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
So you have had a busy week in Washington, D.C. That was our first question we wanted to talk about. Some votes that everybody's been paying attention to this week. Can you talk about what went down for those that I think everybody's fairly familiar with the different bills with foreign aid and what have you? How did all that go down, and what are your thoughts on all that's gone on in the last week?
Well, it has been a big week. We voted on foreign aid on Saturday, actually. We were supposed to have been done voting on Thursday and everybody fly out on Thursday night. But we stayed until Saturday, and partly because we've known this is coming. We've been talking about foreign aid for a while, but partly because of Iran sending drones into Israel, it became more urgent. Everybody felt an urgency to vote on aid to Israel, who's our most important ally in the Middle East. And once you start talking about an Israel aid package, then you've got to talk about all of the aid that's in the Senate's supplemental bill. Because if we pass a different bill in the House than they pass in the Senate, then we have to go back and forth, right? And so in the spirit of urgency, we're talking about trying to do the same bill. And that means that we had to pass a rule, which is usually a routine thing. But in the 118th Congress, nothing is routine.
That's
so
right.
We had to pass a rule bill, and that took a lot of negotiation. And then we've got the 72-hour rule. So after we pass a rule bill to bring the vote to the floor, we've got to have 72 hours to review the bill. And that means we were voting Saturday afternoon, which was the first time I've ever had that happen. And it's interesting for a rookie because I didn't know what would happen when everybody stays over the weekend. And what happens is you stay up all night reading a bill.
So, Congresswoman, you had a little bit of a split approach on funding. I understand that you did not vote to fund the Ukraine package, but you voted the others. So walk us through your rationale on the different thinking for the aid packages.
Yeah, so Israel and Taiwan, or the nations in the Indo-Pacific, are all our allies that we have agreements with. And it was important that we vote on those aid packages. We also voted on a border bill because we said in the House we won't vote on Ukraine aid until we vote on border. So we took a lot of the elements from our HR 2 border bill and voted on that as well. And then the Ukraine aid package. And I have said since I first got in the last race a few months ago that we've got to stand with Ukraine. It's important that they be able to defend themselves against Russia, but I wasn't comfortable with sending them the large dollar amounts that were in that bill. I wanted to send them lethal aid, but not a lot of dollars. And what came to the floor for a vote was a lot of dollars. And I've had a lot of people ask me about it since the vote, actually in both directions. It's interesting. In Utah, we seem to be very split on this one. There were a lot of people who were disappointed that I didn't just vote yes for the Ukraine aid. And then there are a lot of people who are disappointed that even though I voted no, there was some form of Ukraine aid that I was willing to support.
You know, an interesting comment that you made at the Davis County Convention. I was there. I was helping volunteer there. I was impressed with one thing you said. And if I mischaracterize what you said, just correct it. But essentially, you said, okay, I had a decision to make as I come back to talk to all of you. Am I going to go back there and try to get everything and come back with nothing? Or am I going to try to get some things done? Do I remember that right? I was impressed. I think, a very good thing to say, if you could flesh that out a little bit.
Well, thank you. I did say that, and it's something that I've talked to a lot of my colleagues in Congress about, too. I think sometimes as Republicans, we want absolutely everything. And if we don't get everything, then we vote no. And voting no has consequences as well. And I said, I'd rather take an incremental win. I'd rather take a small step in the right direction than just capitulate to the Democrats because we didn't get everything we wanted. And I think we don't talk about that often enough when it comes to national politics, but taking an 80% win or a 90% win is still a win. We get wrapped up in the minutia of it and we come back and talk about how we lost. But sometimes throwing the whole thing away is an even bigger loss because that means we stick with the status quo. And a lot of times the status quo is worse than a 70, 80, 90% win.
Let's stay on that topic for just a second, the Republican caucus. So from my seat, and I'm going to echo other members of the Republicans in the House who called this a major victory for Speaker Johnson in terms of statesmanship, just what you were talking about. How has it been for you to work with the Speaker, and how do you think caucus management, how do you think he did as he navigated these packages this week?
That guy has a very difficult job.
Yeah, for sure.
I've worked with him really well. He was a brand new speaker when I got sworn in, and so I joke with him that we're kind of growing up together. but he's got an unruly caucus, and whether you love that or hate that, you've got to see that it's true. We don't have much of a majority. We're, I believe, one vote at the moment, and we just don't vote as a block. He doesn't have a conference that gets in line. He's been a movement conservative his whole life. He was a member of the Judiciary Committee. He was on the Weaponization Committee. You know, some pretty far right bona fides, but now he's leadership. And one of the things that we love on the far right is taking on leadership. And so he's in a bit of a pickle where some of his best friends are some of the people who are coming after him now. And I think he's done a beautiful job of making sure everybody knows that he's there and he's listening and he responds to their concerns. Now, at the end of the day, not everybody gets what they want, which is sort of the nature of a legislative body. But how he's managed the very narrow majority and managed making sure the people who are his friends still feel like they have a voice, I think has been a masterclass in diplomacy.
So switching gears a little bit, you have a big day coming up on Saturday. Tell us about your campaign.
Yeah.
Obviously, an active season here. And how's that going?
I think it's going really well. I guess we'll all know on Saturday for sure. You never really know till the votes are counted, do you? But it's been an exciting campaign for me. I was a candidate for the very first time last June. And here we are 10 months later, and I'm running, I think, my fourth or fifth race with an election coming up on Saturday at state convention. And the first time around, I was running in a special election. There was not a lot going on in the political world for the news to follow. And so everything we did in that race was really scrutinized. There were a lot of articles written. You know, we were on the news a lot. And now it's a really crowded political field. We've got an open Senate seat, an open House seat, and there's a presidential race going on, and the governor's on the ballot, and an open Attorney General seat. And nobody's getting the kind of scrutiny or the kind of airtime that we were getting a few months ago. And so it's a very different race than what I was running in November. And it's been an education, I think, for all of us. The state delegates this year are champions. They deserve a huge round of applause because they are getting messaged from a lot of people, and they're probably really ready for Saturday to come and go so that they don't have to hear from any of us anymore.
Yes, it'll be a long day and mailboxes will be less full starting next Monday.
Yeah.
Those delegates. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing and good luck with the campaign. Folks, Congresswoman Celeste Molloy, thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back on KSL at Night.